views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 9. And today is July the 31st, 2018. We have a live show for you today. Very important show. I'm so glad to be on air with you all and going to be looking forward to what is going to be talked about. I think it's very, very crucial for today's show. So definitely stand by for a great, great show. So if you'd like to get in on the conversation, don't hesitate. Give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. Would love to hear from you. And that is the call-in number. Definitely want to get engaged and get involved in today's show. Very important. Also, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network, because this network is probably some of the few, if some of the last vestiges of grassroots radio for the overall people. It was actually designed for you to have a voice and to use it. And that's what this program and that's what this platform is all about. It's about you. So please support the network financially. Give donations to the network, and you can do that at www.blacktalkradionetwork.com. Hit the donation prompt. I need to check. Some things have changed on my daggone PayPal. I got to make sure that I've made my donation. So please definitely do that. Very important. Also, you can support the network by being a part of a social media outlet. And the social media outlet is the only place that I post. And it is where you can post things about you, your business, or things that you think are very, very important to go forward in some of the things that's happening in the world. And this gives you an opportunity to do that through BTR Community. BTR Community is a social media platform that was put together for you, just like the radio station, for you to engage and not to be as adversely affected by your identity being sold, your data mining being used against you, to where you are now being targeted by someone, other people, anonymous sources, which are using that information against you in all types and sorts of things. And the platform of FedBook, Facebook, doesn't allow you to benefit from it. They actually use you, and they're taking your overall postings and your overall activities, and they're monetizing it, and they're not sharing any of that with you. And this is actually, if you really think about it, it is a form of deception that's being, because they're monetizing it and not paying you for it. And so what would you call someone that monetizes from your overall activities, your energy, and is not paying you for it? Well, you already know what that is. So don't engage in that. Don't engage in that at all. Very, very, very important. It's a part of making the overall system be held accountable to the overall ethics, the ethics and the moral absolute of the people. That is what it should be, instead of the people having to adhere to the overall agenda of the system. Different mindset. Very, very important. So come on over to BTR Community for only $24 a year. You get 1 month free so that you can learn how to use the platform, and then $24 a year, and you can use the platform in a very, very beneficial way. So please be a part of that. All right. So yesterday we didn't get into what's in the news. I want to touch on a couple of things of what's in the news, but we have a very, very important show for you today, and I want to get into that as soon as possible. So let me go ahead and just get into what's in the news, some of the things from yesterday and today. Today's show is going to be part two of Prepping Isn't About Dates, But Events and Your Prosperity. This is going to be part two, okay? So that's what today's show is. All right, so let's take a look at from yesterday's show was Prepping Isn't About Dates and Events. That was part one. So let me go to there really quickly and run through some things. I got an article from Press News, Press TV, Iran. It says impossible to engage with current U.S. government. Check out that article. There's a lot of movement that's happening in that realm, and it's not good. Next article. I don't know why they put this sister on here. There was another article at Mishtalk that had about trucking having a different face and everything else, where women are being more involved in it. But this article from Mishtalk is Gold Bell Rings. Vanguard throws in the towel on precious metals and mining funds. Very, very important. That has a lot of economic implications because of what's going to be happening. And that has to do with the mines are now going to, in my opinion, they're going to limit or stop the overall flow of the precious metals, because they're not going to want U.S. dollars or the currencies of the world right now for their overall goods. And they are actually, in my opinion, going to be subject to nationalization by the respective governments that they are happen to be that will enforce and actually forcefully remove them from that overall land and nationalize it in the best in the overall security and interest of the financial aptitude of the nation. And they'll steal and take that and use that as the excuse for seizing that those overall mines. I think that that's definitely going to happen. Next article from Business Insider. Millennials are sick of the U.S. butting into world affairs. Check out that article. Very important. Next article I got from Wall Street Journal. Soda motorcycles prices and rise as tariffs hit home for consumers. Check out that article. Very important. Next article from Sputnik News. Russia is dumping the U.S. bonds for gold, but where is it storing its bullion? Next article. I mean, that is a very, very significant. We'll probably carry that a little bit later. Let me ask you, are you getting rid of your currency and getting real money? You could do that at Prosperity Mint. Forgot to talk about Prosperity Mint. You could do that at Prosperity Mint, www.prosperitymint. Do what Russia, China, and all the other nations are doing. They are getting rid of their currencies, and they're using their currency to acquire money, because the next economy is going to be based off of money, not currency. Cash is not money. It is not money, never has been money, okay? Now, what is money can be used as a form of currency, but currency can never be money. But money can do everything that currency does and more, okay? So very, very, very important. And currency can never do anything that money does. Huge difference. Next article from BCC. Why North Korea is in no hurry to please the U.S. Check out that article, and I think that that's going to be another major story going forward in the future. Huge, huge story from Sputnik News. Putin and Modi, our efforts are successful as bilateral trade turnover is growing. BRIC nations is expanding, ladies and gentlemen, huge, and they're doing trades outside of the U.S. dollar. Last thing that you want is India and China and Russia doing deals. That means that they're divesting themselves of the U.S., and this is huge, 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 and we'll cover this again in the implications. Next article from Strategic Culture, U.S. ready to strike Iran in August. So check out that. And those were some of the articles from yesterday. And then let me jump into some of the articles today before we get into today's very important show. First article that I posted came from, and this is another huge, I said that this was going to start to happen, and now we're going to start to see this, from RT International, Russia Today International. Turkey wants to join BRICS because it's disappointed in NATO and the EU. So Turkey will be the first one, the first NATO country to break out. And then I'm going to tell you who I think one of the NATO countries after that, and I've always said it, is going to be Germany, and France will have to follow. This really means that the economy of the world will continue to do well. It's just that the U.S. economy won't. It will be disenfranchised and be relegated to not being significant. And that means the quality of life and the standard of living will be completely nullified here. You have to prepare for it before it happens. It is unfolding, and it won't be stopped. The economy is not going to collapse. It's this economy for the common person that is going to collapse. For those that have resources, their economy is not going to collapse. It's those that are here that don't have resources. That economy is the one that's going to collapse. So, significant, says everything, protect yourself at all times. And we're here to try to help you with that, and we're definitely, this is significant. Next article, I got this one. Thanks to my brother across the pond, my man TK. Thank you for all the stuff you send. He got this one from Veterans Today. Syrian army declares entire border with occupied Golan Heights liberated. This is huge. This is going to be pushed back, and the overall war will continue. Next article, great article, TK. Next article got from Sputnik News. Global car makers pitching joint response to U.S. protectivism tariffs. Of course they are. They're all going to now hit back, and the U.S. will be put under sanctions. And the significance of this, you got to look at senior government officials from Canada, the European Union, Japan, Mexico, and South Korea will meet in Geneva today, July the 31st. I will see that these countries will either develop their own BRIC-like nations or they will join BRICS themselves. I already know that Mexico is already going to join BRICS. South Korea will probably join BRICS when South Korea and North Korea become unified, and it will just be the overall Republic of Korea. They will join the BRIC nations. Then ultimately, the nail in the final coffin, Japan will join the BRIC nations. Next article, article from Wall Street Journal, my man
Dave.
TK. Yeah, go ahead,
Scott. Yeah, good evening to you, brother. Before you move on,
my man,
I had was just about to step away. I left you a comment in the chat, but since I just heard an article about the BRICS, I've been, because I subscribe on YouTube to a lot of African channels that's reporting on what's going on, and that's been big news over there, the BRICS conference in South Africa. And so, that's like really big news on those type of channels coming out the continent. And it is pretty eye-opening. And, I thank you for the one who even introduced me to that this economic pact between these countries even existed, because I'm not seeing any of this BRICS economic conference, whatever the title of this conference is in South Africa. You're not getting it from American-based media. They're not talking about it.
No, they sure are not, Scotty. And this is huge, because I definitely anticipate Mexico, the new Mexican president, said that he wants to join BRICS. And why would he join BRICS? Now he gets the full protection, because BRICS is going to be the new replacement for NATO. So now when he joins BRICS, guess who he's in line with? China, Russia, India, the military powers, all nuclear capable countries, which means that they don't have to have nuclear capabilities. They'll be protected by nuclear capabilities because they have all the resources. Mexico has three times the resources that the United States has per capita. This stuff is really, really significant. I'm telling you, that wall that's got to be built ain't going to be to keep people from the southern hemisphere out of the United States. It's going to be there put up to keep those that are in the United States in. Now you can't leave. Capital controls. Huge, huge, huge. And this is the trick that they do to give you some so that you'll be emotionally attached to this whole thing, and you hate this person, you hate that person, and they're going to have you build a wall of hate that is going to be your overall captive bounds. Boy, yeah, it's crazy, and it's really important that we know this and we do as much as we possibly can to prepare for it. So very important. In Geneva today is when those countries are coming together. Canada, the European Union, Japan, Mexico, and South Korea. In my opinion, all of these countries will go into economic war that will lead to shooting wars and declarations of war against the U.S. You think Japan forgot? Absolutely not. So check out that article. Next article is from Wall Street Journal. My man TK, thanks for sending this one. Huge. The pension hole for U.S. cities and states is the size of the Japanese economy. Check out that article. Going to continue to explore this stuff. Next article I got from South China Morning Post. What trade war? China is focused still on reducing debt and creating jobs. Check out that article. Next article I got from Strategic Culture, War or Peace, new developments that will determine Syria's future. But you know what? Scotty has to go. Scotty, you there? Scotty may have had to go. So, okay. So here we go. We'll pick it up there. And I think I can do... Yeah, I can. Okay, cool. So check out that article. Next article... we got from Sputnik News, Trump on Russian probe. Collusion is not a crime. Boy, all the setup. And that is that article. Next article from RT International. U.S. must return to nuclear deal before future talks with Tehran. That's what Iran said. So next. And then very important, Scotty talked about this. I meant to get Scotty, let me just read you these two things and play this clip for you for today's show. Very, very important. Scotty says, hey, Dave, Tando Radio Show, we should responsibly update yesterday's program concerning the open carry law by the 9th. I was corrected on Facebook by a university professor in California who said that it only applies to the Western jurisdiction that includes Hawaii. So the Ninth Court's decision is only in reference to the Western Hemisphere of the country that the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals applies to, and that would be Oregon, Washington, California, Hawaii. Arizona and New Mexico are in the ninth. So those areas, but there are other actual laws on the books where open carry, like in Texas, you can open carry, and you heard in North Carolina, you can open carry. So you need to definitely look at where this needs. But this is still a significant court ruling because now, but I'm going to finish this. If the Supreme Court hears an appeal and agrees with the Ninth's interpretation of the Second Amendment, it then will be the law of the land. I also looked up the open carry laws in North Carolina. It does have some restrictions, like you can't open carry in restaurants. Yeah, all of the places have restrictions. If a business says, hey, we don't want you to come into with, like in Texas, it has no guns on there. It doesn't matter if you're a concealed carry permit person or open carry, you can't bring a gun inside of that overall establishment unless you're law enforcement, okay? And I looked up open carry laws, and it does have some restrictions. It says you can't carry in restaurant in places that serve alcohol, for one. Right. You can't do that in Texas either. You can't sit at a bar with a gun. Malls and public spaces, like I described with the man in at the public transit centers in Charlotte. So, yes, very, very important. So Scotty said he sent a YouTube video, and I want to play this. Second source, dude uses the political label both sides use to demonize a certain point of view. So start the video at the relevant point. So definitely. So I start the video at the, yes, okay, got you. So, and I know what Scotty means by that. And so meaning cut out all of the other stuff, the rhetoric, that POV stuff, just get to the real source of it all. So, yes, we're going to take a look at that. So what Scotty was saying is that, and I misspoke yesterday, I thought that the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals decision would actually be something that's nationwide, but in a way it's not. But here's what happens, is that now, just like Young versus Hawaii, it can be certain, another person in New York against the state of New York. So you got to know what the overall laws of the area that you live in. Very, 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 very important that you know that. Okay? So find out, call, and everything else. And we got my man Roz. I'm getting ready to go to him in a second. So make sure that you find out, because all states are different. But here's the thing about what the Ninth does do. Now it has set precedent in the overall appeal courts, the Seventh, you know, all of the other circuits of appeal. They now, precedence has been set, and it can actually be a part of what the Ninth has done, that the overall defense of the individual can be used. Because, see, here's the thing about the Constitution, is that the Constitution says the right to bear arms can't be infringed. Means you have that right. No judge can tell you no. It's a right. It's an absolute right that you have, with restrictions that could be added to it, but you're born with that right. And unless there are some things that are stipulated that you've done to violate that, from what their overall letter of the law is, that right is still yours. And so now what the Ninth has actually done is opened up, and I love that the Ninth did it, because California, one of the most, you know, harsh gun laws in the country, now who? They got it. But the key to this is I don't think that the overall Supreme Court will ever pick this case up. I don't think that the Supreme Courts will pick it up. They're going to leave it at the circuit court level. I don't think they'll ever hear it. So you have to find out, and for those of you that, even if you would like to challenge the overall laws, and this is what you have to do. First, you have to be wrong. First, you have to go and say, hey, apply for a, you know, if your state has no open carry, you got to apply for an open carry, and they tell you no, and then you sue them. Then you take them to court for the violation of your Second Amendment, because that right can't be infringed. They can't say no. They absolutely can't say no, no matter how much you like it or don't like it. It's there. You have the right to bear. What does that word bear mean? That's where the interpretation means. And the word bear means to carry. And they're going to say, okay, you can carry, but you need to carry open and all these other things. They're going to try to win something in this whole thing, but it's a lost mute point. It's a lost mute point. And if it's challenged by everyone, and I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of benefits to it all. But as this starts to spread, believe me, the overall provocateurs and the overall clandestine operations are going to do everything in their power to make sure that the people remain, you know, naive to what's in their best interest, so that they'll always rely on the system to provide everything for them, and they're going to try to derail that whole thing. That whole thing. Don't be surprised if an open carry person starts going nuts and everything else, and it's going to be the same person that the other mass shooters were, that they were able to capture. They're going to have been on massive meds, psych meds, and been under a doctor's care. They was probably hypnotized and everything else, the Manchurian candidate, and all of that is going to be, that is what's going to play, because that's what they're going to try to do to derail this stuff. Huge, 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 but we're going to get into that. So What I'm going to do is that my man Scotty stepped away, so what I'm going to do real quick, I'm going to go to my man Roz and then play this video and then pick up today's show. All right, so let's go to my man Roz. Roz, welcome to Tando Radio Show. What say you, bro?
Peace, Brother Dave. Great show
far.
I'm good, man. I wanted to ask you, last week, there was an article that came out that Jenna and I briefly discussed, but I wanted you to get into it because I don't know if you saw it, but I'm assuming you did because you have people in Venezuela. Their inflation rate jumped to 1,000,000%.
Yes.
Now, yes. I was just completely flabbergasted because I had never seen anything like that in my living memory where the inflation reached that level. And they actually said in the article that the inflation rate of 1,000,000% was pretty much identical to what happened to Germany after World War II. So
in the Weimar.
That is just a horrific scenario. And what I've said is if a little country like Venezuela is at a 1,000,000% inflation rate, I cannot even put my mind into the frame of thought to come up with what it's going to look like here. I can't. It's just unfathomable to me. And it just made me think of back when the Russian economy had collapsed and people were running around with two garbage bags full of dollar bills of currency just to get toilet paper, and the lines was like 3, 4, 5 blocks long with people trying to get goods, and they had just bags and bags of worthless cash in their pocket, in their possession, and that's what they needed. And I said I could easily see, when this thing hits the fan here, I said, Dave talked about it. I could see it, you go in and you say, hey, let me get a pack of Doublemint. They're like, $20,000, please. And people just fainting at the counter. It's just right, unfathomable right now. And I wanted you to kind of get into that.
Because
I did tag you in the article, but of course, you were still on vacation. But that was something that I really felt was important for you to speak on.
Send it to me. I did see it, Rod. Send it to me again, then I'll put it in. And that's going to be the second part of the show, because the ninth courts of circuit courts appeals plays directly into this. Directly into this. And my man Scotty is back now, and he says, Venezuela's economy was sabotaged. It definitely, absolutely it was. Absolutely. Venezuela's economy is very, very significant because of they're the largest oil the largest oil producing country in OPEC. Largest. And I'm going to tell you, they're strategically important to the United States, especially for going in war. Because they're going to have this. In order for you to fight a war, you got to steal oil. You got to have oil. That's why the Germans lost the war. They lost the war because they didn't have the oil and the resources. Germany has to, its energy has to come in. Natural gas. It has to buy natural gas from the Ukraine and get it from Russia, Crimea. And that's why that gas line, that's why they're really fighting over Syria, because whoever the Syrian pipeline for oil and natural gas from out of Iran and out of Syria and everything else is going to be going and providing for energy for Europe. Particularly who? The biggest economy in the European economy is Germany. Huge, huge, huge.
Now,
when you don't have energy, when you don't have energy, and you don't have the resource of energy, you either go to war to get it, or you'll start a war that you'll lose because of it. That's what happened to Japan as well. That's why Japan has nuclear reactors all over the country. But they put them on seismic fault lines for a reason, because they wanted them to go. So we'll get into that. Very, 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 very important. So my man Scotty, if you could, Scotty, if you would play that video, we want to hear this video, and thank you all, and we're going to jump into a very important show. And Roz, we're going to touch on that in the second part of the hour. Very, very, very important.
I just posted the article in the thread for you, okay?
Okay. Thank you, brother.
All right, thank you. Peace. I'll mute myself.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to give Scotty a sec, and then we're going to get to – yeah, I did see that the overall – that the rate of inflation in if you think that's bad, it's very, very significant. But see, here's what's – but I'll get into that. I'll tell you why Venezuela's inflation rate and why Raj was saying is if it's that bad there – and what Raj meant by a little country like Venezuela, I'll tell you what he meant by that. It's very true. Just imagine what it's going to have here. It's going to be – it's going to be nuts. So got your – oh, that was 3 weeks ago. Uh-oh. There we go. Got it, Raj. Raj posted from the IMF, Venezuela inflation on track to top 1,000,000%. So we'll definitely take hold of that. So as soon as Scotty is ready, we'll jump into
this. To be able to overturn it with all their leftist judges, and it would just sit there and it would never go any further because of that. But things are a little different now. Kennedy's not going to be there for much longer. In fact, he won't be there to hear anything that would come from this. There's probably going to be a judge in there that's going to be far more friendly to the Second Amendment, far more friendly to the Constitution, period. And if that's the case, the Ninth Circuit may sit back and say a couple of things. One, they may say, well, this administration is not too friendly to us judges bringing our leftist policies into our decisions. I don't think you should bring right-leaning policy opinions into decisions either. I think it should just be based on the Constitution. But right now, we're dealing with the lefts. So they're saying this administration might not be friendly with us. So if we do something crazy left-wing, they might be looking for other people to fill our jobs. So they're worried about their own bread and butter right now, their own salaries. You know, they live pretty nice lifestyles on those circuit court judge salaries. So
they sure do.
They're thinking about that. And also they're thinking about, like I said, if Kennedy's gone and there's a true Second Amendment advocate on the Supreme Court, the case would almost certainly be heard, which means they'd be taking a huge risk. Because if they don't overturn it right now, like I said, it's going to have an immediate effect for the West Coast, Hawaii, etc., but not the rest of the country. So the rest of the country would get to keep their gun infringements, which means states like like New York, Maryland, and like I've mentioned before, other states, they would be putting pressure on the Ninth Circuit to do not, you know, overturn this and make it go to the Supreme Court, or we're screwed. So they might be saying, you just suffer with it for now. We'll try to do something later, but for now, don't get it sent to the Supreme Court. So they'll be under pressure for that. Because if it goes to the Supreme Court, if they overturn it and the Supreme Court hears it, and the Supreme Court sides with open carry being a constitutionally protected right, that's it. Game over, man, for the anti-gunners. They're not going to have any grounds to stand on anymore. No, I don't have a leg to stand on when it comes to restricting open carry or concealed carry, because they're either going to have to say, yep, it's your right to open carry in public for self-defense, and the only way we can say you can't open carry is if we say, okay, in the sake of public interest, you have to conceal it, which is still carrying in public. So they do not want to be in that position. So right now, the Ninth Circuit is really thinking about whether they want to roll the dice on this. Do they want to take a chance of changing this from just something that's affecting the left coast right now, and in more ways than once, the left coast, or do they want to take a chance of this being the rule of law for everyone in this country? And right now, the odds are not in their favor. It's time for them to just take their lumps and go home. I'm sure a lot of them are thinking that. And they're really, but then you also got to remember, they might be worried that, oh God, we're going to have to let everybody carry, and then crime rates are not going to go up, and they're going to go down, and that's going to ruin the argument for the whole country. So there's a lot of things they're taking into account right now, and it's a very complicated issue. So as far as saying, do I think it will be overturned? If this was 4 years ago, or even 2 years ago, I would have said, boom, it'll be overturned in a month. As of right now, I don't know if it will or it won't, but in a way, I kind of hope they do, because I want to see this to go to the Supreme Court, and I want to see this become the law of the land and not just the law of the West Coast. So I don't know which way I'm hoping right now. I kind of like the idea of the immediate changes that would take place if it's upheld here, but I like even better if that applied to everybody, because I would love everyone to get the same rights that we would get here on the West Coast if it goes into effect. So, like I said, I'm undecided. I don't know whether they will or they won't, but I kind of hope they overturn it, because I want it to go to the Supreme Court, because I really, really think this time we would win.
Can't hear you, Dave.
Thanks, Scotty. I have muted myself so I could hear this. That was one perspective of it all, and I definitely don't think that it's going to go to the Supreme Court. I don't see the Supreme Court moving this in.
I do,
one of
Dave,
the things that was very...
I do.
What was that, Scotty?
I think that Hawaii is going to appeal. Just some clarification.
Hawaii is going to appeal. Yeah, I think that they are going to appeal.
But you don't think the Supreme Court is going to hear it?
I don't think the Supreme Court is going to hear it.
I don't know, Dave.
Hawaii is under a lot of pressure to don't appeal it. Just leave it where you are, you know, because
take the loss.
The gun advocates are going to, the anti-gun advocates, anti-Second Amendment individuals are going to, or the anti-gun advocates are going to say, we can't risk this going to the Supreme Court because, like he said, Kennedy is going to be gone, and Trump is going to have an opportunity to put in another Supreme Court justice. You know,
I think they would accept it even in their current condition. Because that guy Obama appointed, man, again, you know, Obama is not a, I hate to use political labels, but so people can understand the different factions within the political sphere, Obama's more of a moderate Democrat,
yes.
You know, like conservative light. Now, I don't think he was pro-Second Amendment, but I think some of that judge he appointed, what's his name, Neil, whatever. Well,
yeah.
But I do think if they take a vote, now, I'm not sure how this works, and if anybody knows, please call in. But how do they decide if they hear a case or not? Do they take a vote to decide how many, you know, is it a vote of all the judges, and they decide whether or not they're going to take a case, or do they appoint like a three-judge panel similar to, you know, what they did here with this recent decision, and they decide.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think given mm-hmm. the current climate and who's in, Second Amendment is really a hot, well, it's always been a hot button issue. But I think there is a slight chance perhaps that they would, if Hawaii appeals, that they will hear the case. Now, how they rule, it's up in the air. I can't see them ruling against the ninth or invalidating the ninth's ruling. But it's also like you said, though, you were saying earlier, though, I expect to see in the wake of this case that it'll be used as a model by gun rights activists in other states, and they will put forth a test case. I just truly believe
they will challenge the states now because of the precedents. Right, Scotty? And I'm with you 100. You know what, Scotty? I forgot how. I think what happens is that the Supreme decides if they're going to hear a case or not. Because you appeal to the Supreme, you still have to appeal to the Supreme Court, and they can decide the cases that they'll take. But you know what? We could grab a the University of YouTube. We could grab that. I forgot how that works. So we could grab that. I'll take a look at that. All of you should too. But you know, Scotty, to your point, it's a big thing what Hawaii does now, because now the ball is back in Hawaii's.
I had the information
back
day.
In Hawaii's corner, because Hawaii is going to receive all kinds of pressure.
Right. I have the information. Because I have the information for you. This comes from law.freeadvice.com. The Supreme Court decides to hear a case based on at least four of the nine justices of the Supreme Court agreeing to grant the petition for certiorari. It's a Latin word that I can't pronounce. But anyway, if four justices agree, so a majority. So, yes, the whole court does vote on whether or not they're going to take a case in majority rules.
Mm-hmm. And the majority says yes, then they all have to hear the case. And just because a judge votes yes for hearing it doesn't mean that they're voting yes for the when they hear it, that their decision is made as a yes. Or they vote no, it doesn't mean that their decision is a no against it. You know, one of the things that's very important is that the U.S. definitely does have a monarchy. And most people don't, you know, really look at it and see it as that. You know, they see England and Saudi Arabia as a monarchy. The U.S. in all terms and fashions has a monarchy, and it's called the Supreme Court. Because all of their justices, they're on the bench until they retire. They can't be fired, and you know, well, they can, but it's as difficult as all heck to fire them. But they're on until they retire. Or until they, even retirement means that they can go until they're 99 years old, 100 years. There is no age limit. There is no term limit. You know, they say presidents come and go. We stay. Very, very important. So, yeah, it's a lot that's riding on this. And this is very, very significant. The ball is in Hawaii's court right now. Hawaii may take this approach. Well, what we could do is we allow it to happen, and then we'll wait for other things to collapse on the pro Second Amendment side by more shootings, more this and that, and then we'll come back when we have more momentum than what we have right now. It can be strategical, but they're under the clock on the appeal. They're under the clock on the appeal. So they may say, hey, we'll just, you know, and then let somebody else, let another state take it. And, you know, that is not under the ninth, and let them, if they can, you know, win a case and everything else. And then, man, this is really, really going to, and Hawaii is probably looking at, oh man, this is huge. What's the best tactic for this whole thing? And one of the tactics that they may see is just leave it alone. Don't push it. Or they may say, hey, maybe we should hurry up and do it. But man, I just don't see the Supreme Court. And Scotty, you know, you're probably right. If Hawaii does appeal, I think there could be four judges that say, yes, we'll hear it. Yes, we'll hear it. And under what circumstances, you know, that would be, why they want to hear it is critical. Because once it goes to the Supreme Court, and once that decision is made, I'm going to tell you, the Supreme Court is going to have it's going to be nearly impossible, in my estimation. It's going to be nearly impossible. Because it's never got to them really in under these terms and conditions before for them to vote against the ninth, as Scotty said. Scotty is absolutely right. I can't see them voting against the ninth because it upholds what the Constitution says. Now they're going to have a ruling on the Second Amendment as a whole. And I don't think any of those Supreme Court justices want to do that. But if they had to do it, woof. And that would change pretty much so much. So much. Very, very significant ruling, significant events that can come about. So as Scotty said, four out of the nine say, yep, we'll hear it. And I could definitely, I'm going to tell you, Clarence Thomas may be the deciding factor, who is, you know, the dude don't even talk. He's only asked one question. I think he's only asked a couple of questions since he's been on the bench. And he only spoke on the bench after Scalia was killed. I mean, Scalia died. And him and Scalia were buddies, they say. And Scalia was pro the Second Amendment. I wouldn't be surprised if, and I never liked that dude. He just, man, I won't. It is what it is. He compromises for a lot of reasons. But I wouldn't be surprised if he voted and his vote was a deciding vote for the Second Amendment and he upheld it. And then he stepped down. Wouldn't be surprised. Would not be surprised. So, yes, yeah, Scotty, it's if Hawaii appeals it, woo. Huge, huge, huge. And the thing about this is that it can be challenged in the states that now that they don't have open carry. They can be challenged. If a state has open carry, they you already have it. There's nothing to challenge. Texas and North Carolina has it. California now has it by default of the ninth. Oh, do those judges live real well? Woo. Man, and the overall appellate court, the circuit courts, appeal court buildings they're like castles. There's one in Pasadena, in South Pasadena, in California. One of the most gorgeous buildings that you can see. It looks like a huge castle. It's ridiculous how this whole setup is. And we really got to get back to the multitudes of people deciding their overall direction, not the few deciding for the many. So, hey, I don't know. What do you think? Give us a call. Number is area code 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. I don't think that this cat is going to be put back into the bag. I think it's out, and it's going to have a whole lot, and it's going to have a whole lot of momentum. And I wouldn't be surprised if you start to see a couple of, shootings, mass shootings that happen. And I did a show, I think last month in June, I gave you the numbers of how many guns are in this country. If you look at the overall number of guns in this country, with the mass shootings haven't even, there haven't been, there's been a very few mass shootings. And then of those, there's been very few people that were killed in those mass shootings. Very, very few people killed. There wasn't one mass shooting that had over 100 people killed. And even if they did, with the number in comparison, the numbers, and I did the show, go back to this show, look it up, is there. The number of guns that are, and it's a billion or so guns in the U.S., I think it was 870, just short of a billion. I can't remember exactly what it is. I have it. I had to go back to that show and pull up that stuff, but I posted it inside of Tandy. I can pull it up real quick.
Hey, Dave.
I don't want to... Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, to further illustrate what you're saying is, the number of deaths to gun violence, when you want to break it into two camps, mass shootings like what we saw in Las Vegas or some school or something like that, it wouldn't even register 1% of all the shootings, even if you counted all the victims of those events. I was reading some terrible news this morning. Where did this happen? South Chicago, a couple, a young man and a young woman, at a convenience store, and a car full of dudes shot them, shot at them, and the girl tried to run, and they ended up shooting her in the back and killing her. And then here in Charlotte, at a convenience store, this motorcycle rider had on a red bandana. These black people too, by the way. That's why it disturbs me so much. But he's sitting there, getting gas for his motorcycle. He's got on the red bandana, and here comes a car full of young bucks. And I shouldn't use that term, bucks. That's like a slave term. These young men pull up to him, get in an argument with him over his red bandana, like gang related. So it must have been Bloods or something. I mean, or who knows what gang they represent or whatnot. So they're going to get in an argument with him. And this happened in Charlotte. And he told them, look, I'm 38 years old. I got kids. And I'm not into this type of foolishness and whatnot. And so he left and they followed him and killed him, man. So it's more victims from that type of gun violence throughout the United States, whether it's domestic violence, you know, especially with cops. They lead the nation in domestic violence at home. But it's more casualties from that type of violence than it is from the very publicized, quote-unquote, mass shootings, which is five or more individuals, which you just saw in New Orleans, where you had, only three of them died, but it was like people outside of the jazz club and dudes roll by in the car and just shoot it up, shoot into the crowd indiscriminately. Yeah.
In an open carry situation, those individuals would never do that. Would never.
Or they would at least take pause. They would at least take pause. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, they would definitely take pause because they wouldn't want someone to start shooting back at them.
But see, even in North Carolina, though, Dave, I was thinking about that very thing today. Okay, so even if it becomes nationwide, I live in an open carry state, though. There has always been open carry. It's not a lot of people carrying. Yeah. So
no, people don't care. People don't do it. You're absolutely right, Scotty.
Yeah, it's not a lot of people carrying. So, you know, I think it's propaganda when they say, oh, if this becomes the law of the land, it's going to be like the Wild Wild West and all of that. No,
nowhere near. Yeah.
Most people choose not to carry, and I think to their detriment, especially our community.
Yeah, especially you know, in my time in Texas, I've only seen two people open carry. I've only seen two people open carry, and I've seen two people conceal carry. People don't do it. Now, the article that I posted, it was back in June the 20th, did the show. Here it is. Most of the 1 billion firearms worldwide are in the possession of private owners. The latest small arms survey concludes that some 857 million pistols, revolvers, and shotguns and rifles were in the hands of civilians at the end of 2017. Far outnumbering the possessions of soldiers and police, with 120.5 guns per 100 residents in the United States, that tops the list of countries with the highest number of guns, far ahead of the second place, Yemen, at 52.8%, and third place, Siberia, at 39.1%. In the previous survey from 2006. So here's the thing. The numbers tell you the truth. The numbers absolutely tell you the truth. And now this is just the firearms that are registered and legal, not even accounting for the ones that are not registered. And not or so are just the overall illegal holding of firearms. So the numbers bear out that it's in your best interest and everybody's best interest. And I'm gonna tell you, a lot of people won't carry. They just won't do it. But I tell you, when we come back out of the commercial break,
we still got a few minutes, Dave. We still got a few minutes, but
yeah, I think that will change. I think that you'll start to see more people carrying.
But those,
and let me give you the numbers.
Before you get the numbers, Dave, just think about those stories I just shared with y'all. You know, the 38-year-old father. What if he had been open carrying? What if they saw that gun on his hip? What about the young couple in South Chicago? As we see, they got some of the strict gun laws. It didn't prevent any gun violence, did it? And what if that young man or that young woman or both had been open carrying with a firearm? You know, can we say for certain that it would have provided deterrent? Well, no, we can't. But we could say she would have had a fighting chance to survive. maybe not right. run, but get in her shooting stance.
Yep, and protect herself. And, you know, and all of these things is that, you know, predators don't like to be seen by their prey, nor do they like their prey to fight back, because now they're not prey anymore. And it's a really sad thing, and it's very, very important that we actually look at this from a very holistic way, where the truth is the overall. So now let me give you this. The United States, okay, in the United States, the estimated total civilian held legal and illicit firearms in the top 25 ranking countries and territories in 2017, the United States has almost 400 million firearms. Next one is India at 71 million firearms. That's huge. Now, that's just the numbers. That's just the registered numbers. The unregistered numbers take that probably to three times that. It's absolutely three times that with the illegal firearms that are in the country. And if you look at those numbers, you have to account for how many guns are available and how many deaths come from firearms. And you'll see, like Scotty said, not even 1%. I say it's 0.02% probably, if you really did the math. I don't know. I haven't done it. But if you look at how many guns there are, you know, it's almost a half a billion guns on it. In the country, half a billion legal guns. That's astounding. There's not a people with a gun problem. It is definitely an agenda. It's an agenda. There's a reason why the sacred airs of the control, the sacred airways of control, the systematic sacred airways of control are being used in that overall manner. Don't fall for it, because I guarantee you, God forbid, great creator forbid, that you're somewhere with your family and some person goes crazy and starts shooting and everything else, and you don't have a firearm, you're going to duck and try to run and everything else. And then now after, you know, we'd have talked about it, at least you should do is fight back. We talked about it, all the things. Now that they're trying to say fight back. See, once they told the people to fight back, and what I say by that is that the FBI and the so-called propaganda officials from the news media with their overall CIA operatives from Cerebrally Naive Network and their FBI people, they're all now saying that what you should do, duck, cover, run, hide, and then at last resort, fight back. See, by the last resort of them saying fight back, that really is an omission that you need to have a firearm. Because deadly force is always, as a last resort, you use deadly force as a last resort. You don't just go to it right there. This is your life that you're fighting for. You have the overall right to defend your life. This is what the Ninth Circuit of Court said, and this is should be the law of the land. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. We'll come back to that. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. Today's show is that prepping is not about the dates. It's about events and prosperity. And my man Otis put, in 2014, there were over 700,000 concealed carry permits in Texas. In 2014, there were 11.1 million CC concealed carry permits in the United States. Huge numbers. 11 million. 11 million. That's roughly just short of 10% of the population with concealed carry permits. Well, no, not 10, 5%. Roughly 5% of the population. Those numbers are huge. That's what concealed carry, which is the most difficult thing to get. And it shows that of all of these concealed carries and everything else in the permits, you know, this is all manufactured. And just before we went to the commercial break, I wanted to make this very important part before we go to the second part of how this all ties in together, how I think, and it's just the way I think, doesn't make it right. You know, there in the last scripted mass shooting, and I believe it was out of Florida at the high school, the overall commentators on Cerebrally Naive Network, commonly referred to as CNN, one of their law enforcement FBI experts gave his assessment of what people should do. And he's been a regular on there. And he said that you should run, hide, seek cover. Cover meaning that you get in between something that the bullet can't hit you. And unless conceal yourself, meaning the bullet still can hit you, but hopefully the overall gun person won't see you. And at last resort, fight. Don't surrender, fight. And this is what the FBI is saying, because he was saying what the overall policy of the FBI is that they suggest to the people. And he gave that assessment. And just by that assessment, that was an omission to the Second Amendment, that it is the appropriate action for every single law-abiding citizen in this country. And I believe not only law-abiding citizens, but any person that has, listen, as Scotty said yesterday, if you serve your overall sentence in your time for whatever it is that you was convicted of, you can't be, that can't be double jeopardy where it actually affects your life for your remaining human life. That's ridiculous. Because the reason why they do that is because they don't care about changing the overall situation so crime doesn't exist. They want to ensure that crime is always going to be healthy. It is always going to never be put in a position to where we don't have a culture of violence. They create the culture of violence by their overall laws and the overall conditions and environments that are set before. And anybody that thinks that's not true, you're just foolish. And you do that because it serves your overall interest, because you're benefiting from it by means of a monetary gain or by ignorant hate. That's who you are. It's an unevenly yoked playing field. And see, the reason why they do those type of things is that the overall justice system, the so-called not justice system, and the non-judicial system of this country is to protect, to ensure that there will be crime in the future. That's why they're there. It is not about rehabilitating anyone. It's not about changing conditions and environments so that people won't be tempted into creating crimes, or even forced and corralled and influenced and pushed into doing crimes and instigating conditions that will cause people, because when people lose it, they lose it. That's what it's all about. So when this FBI so-called cerebrally naive expert said in fight, what is the best way to fight? What is the best way to neutralize when you're fighting for your life? The overall, if you're fighting for your life, or you're fighting for someone else's life, and you're fighting for their life in a righteous way, The quickest and most effective way to neutralize a person is appropriate. It's appropriate. If you got a crossbow, you can hit somebody to hit them with a crossbow. It's the most appropriate thing. And we talked about it yesterday. A lot of you are that's, you know, within our community. You couldn't even hang with Jesus. Because Jesus made sure that he had what? The appropriate protection with him at the appropriate time. And would use it if necessary. Yeah, hold on one sec, Roz. And would use it if necessary. So, for those of us that don't do it, I get it. It's your choice. But I guarantee you, if your children's life and your life was dependent upon a good Samaritan to assist you when someone is trying to kill you or others and they have a firearm, you know what you're going to ask them to do? You're going to ask them to help you. Your eyes and your emotions and your body language is going to be pleading for them to help you. Just because if someone is trying to kill you and someone has a gun, you won't care if it's the police or anybody else. I guarantee you won't say, you know what, I'm against the Second Amendment. Don't you interfere in this. How foolish are you to think that? But see, when the pressure isn't on, we have a different opinion about things. We use our pride to decide, not our ethics and moral compass to determine. Your moral compass and your moral absolute should be determining things. So, just me, when the FBI agent said that, to fight, that gave way to the admittance that the only way to fight someone with a gun, if they're doing that type of thing, the appropriate way is to defend yourself with a gun. Now is an even fight. And you got a fighting chance. You have a fighting chance. So that omission itself tells you what they do and what they think is appropriate for their lives. But see, they don't want you to be protected. They want you to be victimized because that ensures their pensions. That ensures their pillaging. That ensures their policies and procedures of subjugation and enslavement. So, they admitted it. Once they said, protect yourself, fight. They just admitted to, even though, and they'll tell you, no, I'm anti, no, the citizens shouldn't have guns and everything else. When they said that you should fight, and any person, it's over. You just admitted that an appropriate way to neutralize the threat is the most appropriate thing. End of discussion. So, my man, Roz. Go ahead, Roz.
Hey, Brother David, I'm sorry about that. I had my phone muted. Yeah, I was just going to say, no problem. Thank you. I was just going to say what you're describing is something that I've talked about before, which is the Hegelian dialectic. And to me, the two main branches in this country that facilitate that is the law enforcement branch and the military branch. Because through law enforcement, they can create these situations of psychological terror that they use to manipulate and psychosocially condition people to accept any sort of loss of their rights possible under the false guise of being protected by the same psychopaths who created the terrorist incident in the first place. And then with the military, they facilitate it by creating problems outside of the country and then naming who the other is or who the so-called enemy is, which is usually a non-white group of people or country, and then the mass amounts of white supremacists will rally behind that premise to go send people overseas to go kill those people. So to me, those are the two main branches with which they manipulate the public, both to manipulate the laws in the U.S. as far as within the country itself, and then with the military, they use it to manipulate how we back their treatment of other people outside of the country. So that's all I wanted to drop. But thanks, man. Great show, and I'll mute myself.
Yeah, yes, and I totally agree, Roz, and they augment those with other things. You know, they augment them with the, hey, if you're a part of this party, then this is what you believe. If you're a part of this party, this is what you believe. And what happens is that we end up supporting things that we would otherwise not support, because in order to be in the club, you got to, this is what the club does, and they compromise, and it teaches you to compromise so many things. Stand on your own. You were given the wherewithal to endure it all. Stand on your own. It's very, very important that we do that, because then it neutralizes the overall. It neutralizes the overall agenda being compromised by those that control the system. That those that control the system. So, very, very, very important. Okay, so one second. One second, all. Sorry. Okay. So, here we go. Here's why I think this is significant, and because it has everything to do with a part and partial to the overall economy collapse. And Roz talked about Venezuela, and let me just pull this up real quick. With this article was that Roz, I think I hit it. What did I do with it? Okay, here it is. Let me just pull this up real quick. And I saw this article. Can't remember when I saw it, and I went across, and we did a show before this article was going out saying how the overall inflation rate was climbing. Was climbing. One second. Sorry, you all. So we did the show about how the inflation was climbing in Venezuela and what that really meant. And Venezuela is very, very significant because Venezuela is significant because of this reason. Venezuela has the largest amount of oil of the OPEC countries. Has a significant amount of oil. And as I was saying when we started the show, is that Germany lost the war because they didn't have oil. They didn't expect to be able to even get through France, but they walked through France and they were surprised. And one of the first things that the German military did was they seized the overall oil from France, because without the oil, they would not be able to move their overall military. And they knew that they were going to have a problem when it came to Russia, and they needed to have the appropriate amount of fuel for their overall tanks and their overall vehicles and planes to be able to engage Russia. And Russia turned out to be one of the hardest fights. Russia actually lost the most civilians and military personnel in the war. They lost 27 million people. Just think about that. 27 million people in one country. So when these governments go on their mass shootings, they kill millions upon millions of people. And this is just in that campaign. How about the unauthorized campaigns that's been going on throughout history? Do the numbers on the U.S. with how many guns and how many arms that they have compared to how many people they've killed in war. And you'll see something. It's not the civilian gun problem that is really a problem. It's the what? It's the governmental, the political serial killers. That's the real problem. 27 million people out of one country. And we buy this propaganda. Not you all buy the propaganda, but the general population buys this propaganda because they're fanatics. They're fans of this stuff. They're fans of this affiliation and that affiliation. And they're not realistic about what's really the problem is, because they're waiting for talking points for the media to tell them what they should be thinking. Instead of us making decisions and choices from what our Constitution is, not the one that's on paper, the one that resonates in your spirit and in your soul and who you are. So Venezuela is significant. And the U.S. knows that in order for it to go into the war, because the U.S. knows it is going to lose the state of Texas. It's probably going to lose New Orleans. Louisiana. It's going to lose certain states. Those states are going to do just like the other BRIC nations. They're going to make alignments with other nations and secede from the U.S. And it's going to be a fight. But it's going to be done. And they know that this overall, this hemisphere, they have to look at where we're going to get this oil to be able to fight this war. The Roman Empire fell because of what? It had too many military outposts that it had to finance, and it broke them. The U.S. has military outposts and stations all over the world. How are you going to fuel those countries that have the military bases or those personnel on those military bases? And some of them are in friendly territory and allied territories today, but they'll be enemies tomorrow. And then they're going to tell you to get out of the country. They're going to say, you got to go. And before they go to a war situation, they're going to say, you got to go. And what you going to say? No. You have to go. And this is going to perpetuate the war. Now, just like the Roman Empire, it overextended itself. The U.S. military will be completely overextended. It doesn't matter what your overall military capability is. If you ain't got no gas, that's your butt. You lose. How are you going to refuel all the assets that you have all over the place? How are you going to get supplies to those individuals? And the U.S. knows that it has to have Venezuela to seize their oil, and this is why they sabotage their economy so it would collapse. See, when you cause someone to collapse, what happens is that the assets that they hold that they didn't protect, they'll have to be selling them on pennies on the dollar. So Venezuela will have to give up its oil for nothing at all. But what is Venezuela going to do? Venezuela is going to say, no. We're going to partner with the BRIC nations. We're going to partner with China. We're going to partner with Russia so that their assets can be brought here and they'll have plenty of fuel to defend. Colombia will be in a position of compromise. Who do they go with? Who will they go with? They haven't had the best of relationships with Venezuela at all. Now the Russians and the Chinese are there. They'll have their military bases there, which they're already building, and they'll have plenty of fuel to operate. This is a choking point. So the collapse of the Venezuelan economy is significant because of this. As Raj said, this small country. See, why Raj was saying this is a small country, it wasn't because of the influence of Venezuela, it was because of this. Venezuela's quality of life and standard of living was three times that better than U.S. citizens. Times before the collapse, because of the oil resources that they had. But here's the biggest problem. Venezuela never outsourced its debt to the rest of the world, meaning it never sent its currency around the world to be a medium of exchange for goods and settlement of trade, meaning it didn't have to produce so much debt and send it out everywhere. They are now at a 1,000,000% interest rate. Inflation rate. 1,000,000%, and I think is even more. And they weren't even a country that actually exported its debt. There is more debt that the U.S. exports around the world than the debt it has here in the continental United States. There's actually more cash outside of this country, currency outside of this country, treasuries and everything else outside of this country than there are in this country. So what does that mean? Venezuela, just under the overall sabotage of its economy, its overall inflation went up 1,000,000%. How about when the U.S. inflation rate will actually mirror its debt rate? Where it's 21 trillion percent. Or 125 or 300 trillion percent inflation. Is that at all possible? Of course it is. Even if you just look at the numbers that the U.S. admits to, 22 trillion. Well, Venezuela is at 1,000,000. So for all the debt that the U.S. created, all of it's coming back. All of it is going to be defaulted on. That means 21 trillion percent. Inflation. What does 21 trillion percent inflation look like? Raj said a bag of gum for $2,500. No, a pack of gum is $12 million. What does that mean? That means that your country is definitely going to go into a war that is going to lose because it won't be able to afford the gas to get there. It won't be able to afford the gas to bring anybody back. And all of the countries, and what they're going to do is they're going to do what? They're going to put the U.S. into receivership. They're going to sanction the U.S. They're going to have sanctions against the U.S. Food and goods won't come to the U.S. Food, good, and critical infrastructure won't come to the U.S. And the overall manufacturing capabilities that the U.S. will have will be compromised by cyber attack. They won't ever be able to get up online. What computer system they going to use to put up manufacturing in the U.S. and it'll be hacked and turned off? This is just how this is going to go. This is how it's going to go. And this is a 21 trillion in percent of inflation. That's beyond staggering. That means you will lose. Those overseas will be trapped overseas. And then when they get trapped overseas, you know what governments do to people from other countries that they go to war with and they collect all those individuals. You get internment camps. Do you think that the rest of the world will have any pity on the U.S. for all that is done and everything else? And the thing about it is that when the U.S. was doing all of these things, we didn't agree. Most of the people here didn't agree with, but you didn't do any. We didn't do anything about it. So they're going to say, yeah, they did, but they didn't do anything about it. Because you think about it. When Germany went down, there wasn't one person around, wasn't people around the world. They knew that the overall Nazis were the ones that were spearheading it all, but they blamed the German people for it. This is how the system works. This is how the system works. It's not going to be any different here. It's going to be far, far worse. The reason why it's going to be far, far worse, because the dynamics and the margins are much greater. And the debt is going to be even more choking. There will be no debt jubilee. That's fantasy. Ain't nobody going to let you get over on them. That's when you've gotten over on people, then now it's time for you to pay the piper, and you say, well, just let me get over. You know, yeah. Don't happen. It's not going to happen in this case. That's why you got to be prepared. It's really not about dates. When is this going to happen? It's about the events, and it's about prosperity. You do what is necessary because you can see what's coming. That is the real reason why. Thank goodness it didn't happen today, but it is going to happen. It is upon us now. Listen, guys, you're ready to go to a commercial break. If you'd like to get in on the conversation when we come back, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056. Listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from L.A. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. I'm not on the board. Let me check. And give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056. There's always things that you can do and what you should be doing. And knowing the dynamics of what you're going to be contending with is really a wise thing for any prepper to do. Okay, what is some of the threats that I'm going to have to deal with? Because then when you have an idea what those things are, then you'll say, okay, well, you know what? One can of beans ain't going to be enough. We're going to need a couple of more cans of beans. We're going to need this. We're going to need that. That is assessing the overall storm that is coming upon you. That's prudent and responsible.
Brother Dave.
Yeah, go ahead, Ross.
Hey, I was thinking about something today. No one has recently been talking about Haiti. And the last I remember, the Haitian people were trying to tear up the embassy to basically
yep.
kill every American in there. And they later sent a squad of Marines to protect the embassy and the citizens within it because of the unrest in Haiti. Now, I didn't understand what the unrest was all about, but this speaks to what you just said. Those Americans that were trapped in Haiti, and the thing is that the average Haitian citizen knows that America is a major part of the punishment they've been receiving since liberating themselves. So
mm-hmm.
it is not hard for them to turn that, you know, couple hundred year old hatred into like just destroy them on a molecular level if you can get your hands on them. And what I found was, just in digging it up, because I just wanted to get an update because no one's talking about it, especially on the mainstream news. But they said that the situation was unwanted oil price spike, 38%.
Yes.
It jumped 38%. The people were like, yes. Oh, no, we're not having that. And that's what set it off. So if that's what's happening in little old Haiti, then what will happen here when the oil stops flowing and everything hits the fan? Because one thing to remember, and this is something that I learned while researching and studying the Holocaust, was that it wasn't Allied bombs that killed those Jews, and it wasn't any concentration camp. Those places were actually farms, pretty much. They were just farming. And what they died from was disease. And what caused the disease and hunger, and what caused the hunger was the Allied bombing of their truck routes. So they couldn't get any goods or supplies delivered to the locations where they had the lion's share of those Jewish citizens. So that is what stopped them from surviving, was they couldn't get medical supplies and they couldn't get clean food due to the Allied bombing of the supply routes to those particular facilities. So all of that is what's going to be happening here. But I just wanted to toss that Haiti situation out, because I didn't know it was sparked off of a spike in oil prices. I don't know what caused them to spike it. That's what I've been trying to find now, and I can't get my hands on that. And then on top of that, just the fact that when everything hit the fan, they was ready to go up in that embassy and tear the U.S. citizens in that embassy and burn that embassy down and tear those people up. So with that, I'll mute myself, but I just wanted to just toss that out there, too.
Yep, that's exactly what it was. It was the oil, the price of oil shot up. And see, when you destabilize economies of the common people, you know what you're going to produce. You're going to produce people will start to go from civilized to feral real quickly. Really, really, really quickly, because their margins of being able to make it in this overall economic, you know, standing is already, they've already been disenfranchised, and it's all purposely done. It's all purposely done, and it's setting everything in motion. So the article that Rod sent from the AP, it says inflation in Venezuela could top 1,000,000% by the end of the year as the country's historic crisis deepens. The International Monetary Fund said Monday Venezuela's economy turmoil compared to Germany after World War I and Zimbabwe at the beginning of the last decade. Head of the IMF Western Hemisphere Department, hold on, I had to put this on. I don't know why people call me when I'm on the air, and they know I'm on the air. Crazy. The collapse in economic activity, hyperinflation, and increased deterioration will lead to intensified spillover effect on neighboring countries. It's intentionally being done. The once wealthy oil-producing nation of Venezuela is in the grips of a five-year crisis that's leaving many people struggling to find food, medicine, while driving masses across the border for relief into neighboring Colombia and Brazil. Shortage in electricity, domestic water, and public transportation plagues millions of Venezuelans, who could also confront high crime rates, the IMF noted. See, this is why the Ninth Court, in my opinion, was going to be significant. Because when this economic collapse happens, this overall crime rate here, when you talk about inflation going at 21,000,000,000%, so you basically look at the overall inflation of Venezuela and you multiply it thousands of times, it's going to make Venezuela used to have three times the overall standard of living that the U.S. had. It's going to return to that while Venezuela will be in the midst of the height of its turmoil. The Venezuelans will still have over three to four times or even 25 or 1,000 times higher standard of living in the midst of the height of their crisis than U.S. citizens here. That's what it really means. 27 million people died in just Russia alone. I don't know what we think, not you all, but just what people think, that just because you were born in the United States, that the same hunger death march that the rest of the world was put through at different times, that you would ever be immune from. What Kool-Aid have you been drinking to where you can't see that this is a systematic thing? And that there isn't anything special about you. To believe that there would be something special about you over others would believe, just as other people think that they have a, they have supremacy over you because of the color of your skin. You have that same mentality then. They just trick you to have that same mentality in a different way. It's going to produce the same outcome. It's the same thing. And it's going to consume you. The overall violence in this country, the guns are already out. You won't even need a Second Amendment when the common person's economy collapses, because there'll be no one to enforce you not being able to protect yourself. When the economy collapses, when this economy and this common person's economy collapses, it's going to come about so fast and so quickly in this overall decline in its degrees of its degradation is going to be so steep. It will change from minute to minute. It will change from neighborhood to neighborhood, from person to person. Assets will definitely be targeted, but they'll have the assets, but they'll be targeted for those that don't, because so many people won't. It won't get to that overall situation right away, but it will get to there quickly, because everyone that doesn't have assets is the first thing that they're going to try to use, is they're going to get a hard lesson that cash ain't money. Don't matter how much cash you have, it ain't money. And that lesson is going to be so hard that they're going to look at back at what they have at their homes, their apartments, and their wherever their dwellings are, and they're going to look for things of value. And you know what they're going to find all over the house? Nothing but consumer crap and consumer goods that have no intrinsic value. What difference if you got the newest iPhone, newest iPhone case, when the overall agenda of the day is just going to be able to eat 500, 700, or 1,000 calories worth of energy from food? What difference is that phone going to make? What difference is those Jordan sneakers going to, what are they going to do for you? Even if other people around the world will be wanting those Jordans, but guess what? You won't have a way to get it to them and receive payment to do it. What good is that consumer stuff at your home going to do for you? What good is the $1 million worth of cash that you have in the bank, which you thought was money, and then you come to realization that it ain't money? It's not going to, I have no, I can't buy anything with, I can't afford a pack of gum? The overall shock and the anger that is going to produce. People are going to be more than quite upset. They're going to go through the overall anger stage. Then they're going to come to, oh my goodness, how are we going to make it stage? Then they're going to be getting weaker and weaker and weaker. Now they're going to say, yo, we need to bond together and come up with solutions to things. We can't fight. Even if you rob and steal, you ain't getting nothing for that. There ain't nothing to rob and steal. You're robbing and stealing from people that's even worse off than you. They're in the same condition as you. It's happened throughout human history. And the U.S. is not immune to it. And it's going to happen here. It's unfolding as we speak. And for those that can see what's coming, and if you can see what's coming, you prepare for something before it happens. Because if you can't see something coming, you darn sure aren't going to know what to do once it arrives. For those of you that do, all the things that you've acquired, all the assets that you've acquired, you will survey and you will have them and you will use them to your benefit. Is it going to be a difficult time for you? If it's not a difficult time for you, the wise thing to do is to make it a difficult time for you, because you're going to smell different. And what I mean by you're going to smell different is that people are going to notice some other things that they didn't notice when they should have been watching now. Right now, we're too asleep at the wheel. We're too asleep in the garden. And for those of you that are minimizing your overall exposure to worthless nothings and acquiring priceless money, I'm going to tell you something, y'all. They lie to you when they say money don't grow on trees. That was a darn lie. You know what I really wanted to say? It wasn't darn. That is an absolute lie. Money does grow on trees, y'all. But see, we've been so thoroughly schooled and institutionalized by this system, we say, yeah, money don't grow on trees. No, cash don't grow on trees, but money grows on trees. Every orange that is non-GMO, heirloom orange, every heirloom peach, that's money, y'all. In case you didn't know, it has an intrinsic value. Sustains life. You can eat it. And it gives you energy. Don't let these people fool you into continue to uphold the system, because you'll become more and more like them and less like who you were designed to be. Money does grow on trees. Have you planted a tree? Have you planted the tree of life in for your family and yourself? You continue to nourish it, continue to water it. Believe me, your overall efforts will not go in vain. It will not be wasted. One of the many lies that they've told us to uphold, that money doesn't grow on trees, so that you'll never ever be able to recognize what money is. You'll only know money as what they tell you it is, and they're always going to tell you it's going to be a paper contract debt instrument known as a coupon. And when we think about money doesn't grow on trees, first thing that we think about, we have the image of dollar bills on leaves and trees, and that you go, what fantasy are we really? It's ridiculous. We love what's fake and we hate what's real, because this is what we've been conditioned. This is what we've been taught. And if we buy into flawed teachings, and we buy into a malevolent energy in ideology, then we become just as malevolent. We become just as adversarial. We become just as cancerous as the teacher, because we recite their agenda. So it's all being set up for us not to be who we truly are, but to be what the system has always wanted us to accept. And then once we accept that, we surrender our will to that, and then we become that. We have to become much more than what we've become. And one of the best ways to reverse that is to stop doing what we did yesterday. It don't work. It's not the path. It's not the prosperous path. It's the destructive path. You all have started that. I would encourage you all to continue. Because even though the common person's economy will collapse here, it doesn't have to affect you as much as everyone else. You're not responsible for the will and choice of someone else. Not that someone else, your friend, your family member, or the person that lives in your overall home. You're not responsible for them. You can do something different. And then maybe by doing something different at the appropriate time, they can see, uh-oh, we've been had. And they'll be keen to doing what? Doing something different out of necessity. Because one thing about the human spirit is it's relentless. It is relentless. So you prepare for events and you prepare for prosperity. There are going to be events that are going to bring in much chaos. But if you prepare for that chaos, but outside of preparing for that chaos, if you'll prepare for the prosperity, you will be in a different position. You'll be in a position of advantage that you can start to come in with the overall necessary relief and say, hey, this is what we do. This is what we do. This is how we resonate. This is the direction that we choose to go in. We don't let anyone make decisions for us anymore. We don't let false representation speak. We move as our own individuals, as our own members, and as our own tribe. Is it going to be difficult in doing that? Absolutely. But is it worth it? Is the most important question. Is it worth surrendering and dying? Or fighting and living? It's going to be a battle. But you've been equipped enough to win it. And you really win it the moment that you say, this is who I am and where I'm going. This is what I'm going to do. Once you do that, there's nothing that this system can offer you to compromise who you are. And a person that's not, that the system can't compromise, it loses all of its leverage against that individual. And wow, when that individual turns into a group, into a community, into a tribe, into a nation of people, and into the overall human species, they become the extinct ones that is written about in the new history books. The history books that are written now are written by those that conquer, by conquerors. So The system knows. It's been doing this for a very long time. And I think the most important thing that you can do as we get ready to close out the show, let me make sure no one had any comments, is that you prepare. Because everything that you prepare with, you're going to use. My man says, Scotty says, I have a lot of cantaloupe seeds. Seeds is the overall planting of prosperity, because then you can plant where money grows off of, money does grow off of trees. And cantaloupe comes out of the ground. The vines, not only the trees, the vines bear money. All of it. All of those things are necessary to sustain yourself and to sustain others. Because we've already seen what they've done. The tricks have been the same tricks. New audience. Same magic show. Different participants. Same outcome for those that sit and watch. Key to magic is not to trick you, but to make you believe. There are many believe that ain't nothing gonna happen. Ain't happen now. Oh, I heard this. Because you know why it won't happen? Because you can't see it unfolding right now, and you're definitely not gonna see when the overall system of subjugation and control tells you and puts you in a position of what they really think you are, and that is a slave to their economy. That's going to be difficult for many. Get off of their economy. Get into assets. Get into assets. Very important. So, listen, everyone. You got to get ready to get out of here. Just want to say much love, much respect. And Wise Wednesday tomorrow, I think Brother Davis, I don't know if Brother Davis called in, we'll see. He may not be on schedule. I'll try to reach out to him. I'll just say much love, much respect to you all. Greatly appreciate my man Roz calling in, Scotty for chiming in, and you all listening to the show. We'll talk to you later. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold. Before. In 2000, Saddam Hussein announced Iraqi oil would be traded in euros, not dollars. Sanctions and an invasion followed. Some say because the Americans were desperate to prevent OPEC from transferring oil trading in all its member countries to the euro.